coming up on the Joyful Learning Pod.
I do think that poetry enables us to experience things on an emotional level that is profound. I really do think that poetry is kind of the language of the heart. And so I think that, yeah, we can read things in poetry that we maybe couldn't get through in prose because there's too many words and there's too much time spent there. But with poetry, at least there's more space on the page and more space in our brains to kind of deal with what we're doing, you know, the emotions that we have to experience.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Joyful Learning Podcast. I had the opportunity to speak with award-winning author Rajini LaRocca all about her writing and novels in verse. This month in April is National Poetry Month, and in celebration, we decided to release 4 episodes instead of 1 to highlight different authors that are writing very, very amazing and engaging books in this format. So without further ado, let us get into the conversation with Rajini. So I'm just really glad to be talking with you, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about you as a writer. And I know you have so many books to talk about now, mm-hmm. but just spend a little time giving us a little bio, especially for people who might not be familiar with you yet.
Yeah. So I'm Rajini LaRocca, and I write middle grade novels and picture books. And that list is going to expand soon. But I write in poetry and prose, and I write fiction and nonfiction. And my other job is as a doctor, so I like to put a lot of math and science into my books because that's my jam.
That's so awesome. Well, and I remember meeting you in 2019 when your very first middle grade novel came out, and that is only 4 years ago. So you are a very, very busy person, very talented, and I swear every time I go on social media, you are talking about a new book that's been accepted or that you are working on, or I just don't know how you even do it. So I am just so grateful to be talking to you today. And since we are focusing on novels in verse for the month of April, you have, I think, 2. One came out in 2021, Red, White, and Whole. And you have a book birthday coming up super soon when we are recording this. I think it's the 21st. Is that your book birthday still? It's called Mirror, yes. Mirror, correct?
Mirror to Mirror, yes.
Mirror to Mirror. And I've actually read it. It was a while ago. I got an advanced copy digitally, or maybe even, no, actually I had a print copy because I get some of the sneak peeks through Follett. I get a box a couple times a year, and your book was in the fall selection, I believe. So I have read it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that forthcoming Mirror to Mirror, which when people are listening, it will be available. So I hope everybody rushes out to purchase a copy.
Oh, it's so exciting. First of all, Melissa, I love talking to you. I'm so grateful to be talking with you about all book things. I was such a thrill to meet you in 2019 when Midsummer's Mayhem came out. So there's that. Yay. But Mirror to Mirror is my latest novel, a novel in verse, and it is contemporary. And it is a dual POV novel in verse about identical twin sisters, Maya and Chaya, who love music almost as much as they love each other. They are very close. They are like soulmates. But Maya is hiding a secret. She's got awful anxiety, and she doesn't want to tell anybody about it. Her sister, her twin sister, of course, knows about it, but I don't think she understands the extent to which her sister's been suffering, and she doesn't really understand the origins of it either. So when Chaya tries to tell their parents, Maya finds out, stops her, and then shuts her out. She's very upset. And so then Chaya thinks about it, and she wonders whether she is the cause of her sister's anxiety because they are identical, and they both play the same type of classical music on the piano. So she changes herself. She changes what she looks like. She puts a pink streak in her hair, and she changes the kind of music she plays. So she turns away from the classical music that she's played all her life and starts to play more popular music and even try and be in the school musical. But instead of bringing them closer together, this pushes the sisters further apart because Maya doesn't really understand why. And at the last part of the book is about them going to their music summer camp where they make a bet to switch places. They'll pretend to be each other and play each other's music, which is not easy. And whoever lasts the longest without being discovered gets to decide where they go to high school, which is something that they've been arguing about.
I know it had a very Parent Trap-ish vibe when I was reading that section. That's all I could
Yes.
really keep thinking back to my childhood days. And so I know this is probably a question that people, when they're talking to you about this book and with Red, White, and Whole, about how much you've drawn from real life experiences and how much do you kind of imagine and just kind of put together from your own thoughts. So talk a little bit about where you get your ideas and how that all comes together.
Yeah, with Red, White, and Whole, so it is set in 1983, and it's about a 13-year-old girl who feels torn between the worlds of her Indian immigrant parents and her friends at school. And so she's kind of struggling with this when she finds out that her mom's been diagnosed with leukemia, and she feels that if she could be the perfect daughter, the daughter that her parents want her to be, that she can somehow save her mom's life. And I was 13 in 1983. So that and all the music in the book is definitely from my own life, songs that I loved. And I remember feeling like Reha, and I remember feeling like I felt very American during the week when I was at school and very Indian on the weekend when I was with my parents and our friends. And I sometimes felt like those two worlds were never going to meet, and I didn't know which version of me was the real me. And so those feelings that Reha has were real feelings. And my mom didn't have cancer, but she was in a very bad car accident when I was a teen. And so those feelings that Reha has about watching her mom be sick and having to deal with, going to a hospital and all of that stuff, those feelings also came from my actual life, as did the desire to be a doctor and like couldn't wait, can't wait to get to that part of my life and learn all the stuff I want to learn. But there were significant differences. Like the story in Red, White, and Whole is not actually my life. But it was very much inspired by feelings that I had. And in Mirror to Mirror, what's really interesting is that, it's about twin sisters. So not only am I not a twin, but I don't have any siblings. So I this book came from a single poem that I wrote after a poetry workshop that I took. And I wrote this poem, and it's in the form called, it's a ghazal, which is a kind of poetic form that's popular in South Asia and in the Middle East. And it's often set to music, so it's often a song, and it's usually about love, and it is often sad. So I wrote this poem about a twin lamenting the fact that she and her twin are no longer close, and that her sister has changed so much, and not understanding why. And I wrote that and I was like, who are these twins? Like, what is going on with that? And so it started this whole story. And in order to do research for this story, I interviewed a bunch of identical twins. And I've got to tell you, I couldn't believe the relationships that they had. A quote that one twin told me was, when you have a child and you realize, here's the person that I would do anything for, like I would die for this person. She said, I've known what that's like since the day I was born. And I was
Wow.
just like, whoa,
Yeah,
right? I was like,
that's.
okay. So there were some amazing close relationships, spooky connections. So I thought about that, and I thought about how even when you're that close to someone, there is still room for misunderstanding. And that's what I tried to write about. I tried to write about, because these twins love each other and they consider themselves, they use a lot of music metaphors. They consider themselves to be in sync in the very beginning and like finishing each other's sentences, that kind of thing. And then when, but Maya is really, really struggling and she is really hiding something that is hurting her. And her sister helps her as much as she can, but she knows there is a limit and that she's not going to be able to fix her and that she needs her sister to get help. So That's where it came from. And originally it was going to be that one voice was in poetry and one voice was in prose, but it became obvious in revision that they both needed to be one or the other. And I think poetry made more sense. And so did my editor. And so that's what we ended up doing. And that was a challenge because it's dual point of view and it's identical twin sisters. I still wanted to make sure that the voices were distinct from one another. And so that was a lot of the work that went into this book.
Very cool. Well, and you talk a lot about this connection and these deep emotional feelings in both books that you just discussed. And as a reader of both books, I completely connected to the characters in each of them and just the feelings that the way that you wrote those poems, what they conveyed. And I connected in different ways to each of the two books. And you and I spoke, actually, I don't know if you remember, but we were going back and forth in our Twitter chats back in 2021 before I think the book came out. I had an advanced copy of Red, White, and Whole. And I was going through something a little similar with my mom who had just been diagnosed with something. And reading that story with the main character whose mother was experiencing something very similar, it just like, it was actually hard to read. It was hard to read because it was so personal. It was so like, oh my gosh, this is kind of my reality and I'm seeing it in the pages of your book. But to be able to kind of tell you that and have a back and forth conversation was just so powerful and meaningful. And I think that's one of the reasons why we've kind of stayed in touch. And I feel kind of close to you, which sounds silly because we've only seen each other in real life, like maybe even once, I don't know. But I just really... I'm so grateful that there are authors like you in the world who write about stories that do connect. And that idea of connection and you choosing verse as the format, there was an article in School Library Journal that you were part of, and actually a bunch of the other people that's kind of part of this verse and novel and verse series contributed to this article. And we found the article after I had invited everybody. So it was just kind of interesting to see the overlap of the guests that are going to be on here and the article. But it talks about actually Chris Barron, who we're going to talk about in a second, because you two are also have a very interesting relationship. But he talks about how the structure of verse creates an intimacy with a reader that allows them to hear the tone and cadence of a character's voice. And this can create even stronger connections for readers. And then your quote talks about just that deeper connection also, and that you knew that it was going to be like the dialogue was going to be, you said, internal and emotional. And that's why you thought verse was the right format. So that just kind of exemplifies everything you just explained about both of your stories. So I really recommend to all the readers to check that School Library Journal article out, and I will put that in the show notes so that people can get easy access to that. So let's talk a little bit about Chris Barron, who is the author of three books for sure that I have read, and two of which I think are novels in verse. And I actually just finished on Monday, The Gray. Have you read his forthcoming?
I have it, and I have not had a chance to read it, but I'm going on vacation, and I'm reading it.
Well, prepare yourself. I was so deeply connected to the character, and there's this overlap of theme of anxiety, and that's kind of the core of his main character. And The Gray is this feeling that the character kind of feels in this place that he goes into when he experiences those emotions. So we'll talk more about Chris and people will hear about him with a different little clip, but tell me about, you have something coming up that you are collaborating with him on, true or false?
Oh, true. Definitely true. Yes.
Can you tell us anything about it?
Yes. No, okay. It's not in verse, but it is an interesting format. Chris and I, okay. So first of all, Melissa, I consider us friends 100%. And I so appreciate you saying that to me. I do think that poetry enables us to experience things on an emotional level that is profound. I really do think that poetry is kind of the language of the heart. And so I think that Yeah, we can read things in poetry that we maybe couldn't get through in prose because there's too many words and there's too much time spent there. But with poetry, at least there's more space on the page and more space in our brains to kind of deal with what we're doing, the emotions that we have to experience. But Chris and I, our debut novels came out on the same day, and we met because we were part of a book promotion group together. And we, like a bunch of us in 2018, before our books came out, we said it was only for middle grade novelists because we were scared of the YA people. And we said, does anybody want to go to Highlights? So Chris was one of eight of us. Eight of us decided we were going to go to Highlights together. So we all met up. We didn't have any books out yet, and we, the people who went to Highlights, became like, we just are best friends. Like, we're just so close. And so Chris was awesome. And then we also spent time in the summer of 2019. We just went up and down the West Coast and just promoted our books just for fun, like on vacation. We took our families together and we had a ball. And so I got to know him really well. And I loved his book. I loved All of Me. I loved Magical and Perfect. I know I'm gonna love The Gray. And so we're also nerdy in many of the same ways. Like, we like fantasy, we like sci-fi, we watch a lot of the same shows. And so we had this kooky idea of doing a co-authoring a novel. And from the beginning, we thought it should be epistolary. So it is all in letters and emails and texts and video chats. And
Oh.
so that is what it is. And we took all the nerdiest things that we love about fantasy and sci-fi and stuff, and we stuck it into this book. It's about two kids. It's called The Secret of the Dragon Gems. It is coming on August 29th, and it is about two kids who meet at summer camp. They both had a horrible time at summer camp, for various reasons, and then they meet on the last night when everyone else is near a bonfire, but they see a light near a stream, and they go there and they find these two rocks that kind of glow silvery in the moonlight, and they each take one because they remind them of these rocks from their favorite fantasy series called the Dragon Gems. And so they each take a rock and they go home, and then they start writing letters and then emails and texts and having chats together because strange things keep happening and they begin to wonder whether the rocks maybe aren't just rocks. So it's fun. There is a bad guy who is really fun. Like, the owner of the camp asks if there are anybody who found some interesting geological artifacts, and is like, after that, after those rocks. And it is absolutely bonkers and totally fun. And we had a great time. And this was during COVID. This was the summer of 2020 when we wrote this. And so we would just like write a chapter and then say tag and then say write the next one. And we went back and forth and we had the best time. So we can't wait for it to be out.
Oh, that's very exciting. We'll have to maybe plan a future episode with the two of you when that book that maybe that can be one of our first episodes in the fall. That sounds like a really fun thing to plan. Can't wait.
It's going to be great. We would love to do that. And Chris is hilarious. And of course, the girl in the book is from Massachusetts, which is where I live, and the boy is from California. So, like, there's a lot of us in this book.
Excellent. Well, I have just so appreciated getting a chance to just sort of take a breath and catch up a little bit with you. And I have one last question, and I ask this of all my guests. This is the Joyful Learning Podcast, and so I would like to hear what is currently bringing you joy. Doesn't have to be books or writing, or it can be anything, something that is currently bringing you joy in your life right now.
I'm going to say two things.
That's
One is
okay.
for everyone. One is for everyone. I'm going to go on vacation and I get to see, like, not only my husband, but both of my children, which is, they're grown-ups, so we don't see them. We don't all get to go to the same place together that often anymore. And I'm so excited about that. That's going to be wonderful. And that's just, and I've finished all my work. I have nothing to do
Oh.
but just hang out and have fun. So I'm really looking forward to that. But the other thing is, because I assume that these are mainly adults that are listening to this podcast, because
Yes.
I'm watching a TV show. We're watching The Last of Us, which is on HBO. And it is, okay, it's like a zombie apocalypse TV show, which is not my thing. Like, I don't like horror. I don't really like zombies. But so many people told me to watch it that I said, okay, I got to check it out. It is so unbelievably well written. It was originally a game, and they made it a series. Out of a game, And now I understand why. Because the most interesting parts are not really about the horror zombie stuff. They're about people and like what matters in life. And it's unbelievable. Yeah. So not for children at all, but for adults, unbelievable. And it, and weirdly, it's a very sad show and it's making me happy.
Oh. So well, I can kind of see though. Well, what you said is about what's important. You know, it has depth, and as a writer, I'm sure you appreciate good writing. So it 100%. Makes complete sense to me. Well, thank you. I will definitely add that to my list and check that out. And again, just thank you so much. It's so wonderful to talk to you, and I can't wait to see each other in real life, hopefully sometime very soon.
Yes, I would love to. It's so great to talk to you, Melissa. Thank you for everything.
You are welcome. Have a fabulous rest of your day.
You too.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did. And if you are like me, you have added a bunch of titles to your to-be-read pile to both purchase and read. And just as a little side note, always, when possible, purchase new books from independent bookstores. They're very important to our society's culture of reading. And in closing for today's episode, I would like to share a book that I picked up at a wonderful independent bookstore in Minneapolis, Minnesota called The Wild Rumpus. I highly recommend all of the listeners, if you are ever in the area, to check it out. And it is a book entitled How to Love the World, Poems of Gratitude and Hope. And it's edited by James Cruz. And I just want to read a little bit from his introduction, and he titles his introduction, The Necessity of Joy. So as soon as I saw this and started paging through, I knew it was a book that I had to own. So he says that, I trust in the necessity and pleasure of all kinds of creativity, from cooking a meal, to fixing a car, to sketching in the margins of a grocery list. But poetry is an art form especially suited to our challenging times. It helps us dive beneath the surface of our lives and enter a place of wider, wilder, more universal knowing. And because poetry is made of the everyday material of language, we each have access to its ability to hold truths that normal conversation simply can't contain. When you find a poem that speaks to exactly what you felt but had no way to name, a light bulb flashes in some hidden part of the self that you might have forgotten was there. So this just was really inspirational and so true. And the first poem in this book is a poem entitled Hope by Rosemary Wattola Traumer. Hope has holes in its pockets. It leaves little crumb trails so that we, when anxious, can follow it. Hope's secret? It doesn't know the destination. It knows only that all roads begin with one foot in front of the other. Thank you, everyone, as always, for tuning in to the Joyful Learning Podcast. Please follow our podcast and our social media accounts, and we would be greatly appreciative for anybody who really is connecting with the show to rate us on whatever platform you find your podcast and leave a review if you feel so inclined.